Reading from the Srivati Sundara Anuchet 305, Servitorship. Service enhanced by the attitude of servitorship. All forms of service to the Lord become greatly enhanced only when performed with this attitude of being a servant as the of impurity. So what remains to be achieved by the servants of the Lord, whose feet are a holy shrine? The statement, merely by hearing the name of the Lord, means that regardless of how one may hear the Lord's name, he or she becomes free of all impurity. So what could speak of those who render service to him legitimately? Therefore, what remains to be achieved, either in the matter of practice or perfection, for those who are rightly serving the Lord with the disposition of being a servant? This means that there is nothing greater than the attitude of service. Only Janatimarindasya, Janatimjana Silataya, Bhaktirindasamyena, Vismari Sri Pravena. Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam. Sati Sata Dantikam. Adadana Sthenam Dante. Idanya Chaitina Puna. Shumadhi Bata Dambhoja. Vilisham Janma Janmani. Vairagya bhakti visham priyadhyay apayam mam arkit sumangam sukambhudiya paradhuta bhuti sanatanastam padumasriyami pancha kalpa sarupyasya vipasindu bhayedhika patitanam bhavanejo vaishnavejo namo namah. Hare Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Bhaktivedanta Bhaktivedanta Hare Krishna Rama Rama Hare Hare. Excuse me. A greetings from Vrindavan, again by the grace of His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj. I have a very, very suitable place here, wonderful place here. To do, I hopefully thought was my Bhajan in writing, but there's just so many people coming. And we just, Raghunath is here with a yoga group of really really established Americans. This wasn't just young kids moving into the temple, but really established Americans and the people well situated in the world. It's really quite rewarding to see. They have to go these, and the tour wasn't advertised. First, and they went to Pushpa Abhishek in Chopati, where there's, I think, 6 tons of rose petals that come from the ceiling. And it's really nice. When they got there, Raghunath said they were going to go to a temple. It's all their dressed up. So they went shopping in Bombay and bought, ladies bought saris, men bought all kinds of fancy clothes, if you can imagine. They came and Lord Ramana Swami accommodated them at the kind of at the, you know, front, and then they went down to Kerala, the beaches, the, you know, the yoga ashram, etc. And then they wound up in Vrindavan, and it was amazing because they came. I guess they came on a they came just before Sunday night, and they came to my place and. I had these ladies up there, they cooked a wonderful meal, and they sat down. samadhi lit up, I felt like really entering into a different dimension. And it helped me to understand how important it is to teach. And this is a point I got from Vaisheshika when I was interviewing him for my Japa book, that one thing about preaching or sharing Krishna consciousness with others is it actually being saved because you see when you get when there's an appreciation for what you do through the eyes of others, that's, you know, it also enhances your own appreciation. I saw that when they just went, wow, and then I went, yeah, wow. And then went into the temple, and on Sunday in the temple, and you can't get in, it's so packed. The kirtans are so intense, you know, it's almost like what crazy jumping. You know, and all sorts of people, so you do back end in the front there. Well, we really worked them out. I think they'd go out. They didn't mean to. But I get a class in the morning at 9:30 up there, I do yoga practice and then breakfast, and then they went shopping, and these people love Ganga Prasad and all the other stuff. They just loved it. And then as soon as they came back, we had lunch, and then I took them on a walk. God, better than I'm praying for sure, has this farm. It's a must-see. And then there's these devotees that built this house there, you know, it's a car house, and beautiful. And just to see the original breed of Indian cows and coming back, and then by the time they went back, we went out, and it was a Sampanchami, that's the first day of spring. So as soon as we're on the road, there's a procession of 300 sadhus dressed in yellow. The perfect. You know, chanted all the prayers, you know, Radha Damodar, who chanted Damodar Asakam, the Samadhi of Rupa Goswami, just one verse or two verses, said the Swami of thank you. And I didn't lose everybody, right? You still here? Someone can tell me I have an audience.
Yep.
After that.
Maharaj. Maharaj, yeah.
Okay, we got it.
But
thank you. Thank you.
I don't know if anybody has this experience, but your voice in the
okay.
drops sometimes. You know, the line comes in and out.
You know, of 300 sadhus with these floats and Krishna and Krishna and finished the back there, and then we went to Radha Raman, Ramadan, and then there's a place called the Saji Mandir. And it's probably architecturally one of the most beautiful places in Vrindavan. But they only have darshan once a year. It's extremely organized, you know, and it took you only about 5 minutes to get in. And it was a king who was worshiping Radha Krishna and had a collection of chandeliers from all over the world. But it was nice for Krishna. And the Rupa room had, you know, 30, 40 chandeliers of all kinds and decorated. And it was just nice to just see the people. And then I heard their realization that Vrindavan and people actually became devotees without preaching. It's according to their ideas. And, you know, the idea of every people is to meet, you know, decent, respectful people who are peaceful and devotional. And see nice opportunity. It was a very, very nice experience. And just sharing that with you all. And I told Raghunath to make this a regular thing twice a year. We want in the summit in Himalayas and want to South India, these type of people, and organizing in advance. It's a great way to share the wealth of what we have with people who normally cannot appreciate the presentation as, you know, in many places, as we personally have it. And then in the afternoon, I'm continuing, I'm doing this. Kind of subtlety, but it's hard to maybe go to the CC. But, you know, he has pride in his knowledge. And it's subtle ways in which what you're telling you after his mercy tried to help him remove that pride. But in the discussions in the class, one highly advanced socially, put us another reference, a nice book I got to know about called Dr. Lowe. And it was really, I mean, to see the depth of knowledge and insights of that are already there that I haven't seen. But it described the prejudice of Jan for knowledge. And it described that it's just a way of looking at the world. If you look at it according to karma, you'll be prejudiced against Jan. And if you look at it according to Jan, you'll be prejudiced against karma. I'll tell you what I mean. If you're looking at it, Jan means the path of infatuation. So people have a prejudice against renunciation. You know, you look at the path in terms of renunciation, and you look at a devotee who is fully dedicated in spiritual life. You know, which means that too. You may be, you know, you look at Dr. Vinod Thakur and think he's a liar, he's 11 children, he's a district magistrate. You know, or you're denigrate the office of, you know, a woman, you know, or glasses. Yeah, you judge things in terms of renunciation. And bhakti is not renunciation. Renunciation means vairagya, a distaste for all passions. The devotee doesn't have a distaste for all passions. He likes music, he likes kirtan, he likes prasad, he likes festivals, he likes devotional social dealings. So that's the prejudice of Jan, and the prejudice of karma is you're looking at the prejudice of karma is that you look at people who are renounced as something wrong with them. And that will cause their prejudice, because you look at a brahmachari and say, oh, you know, frustrated guy. Doesn't have a high aesthetic sense or a social sense. You know, they're not seeing it. They say, oh, this guy's crazy. You know, if they have that, I remember one time one lady told me, you know, she was in some community. And, you know, so she said, we don't want those sannyasis coming around and preaching renunciation anymore. Of course, I can understand something, but it went a little bit too far. So it's a prejudice. So these prejudices of karma and jnana, the beautiful comes, he mentions, it either comes from your past life, or or your present life. And he says when you have those prejudices, I can find the section, it's so beautiful. He says the offense at potentially the goodness and ignorance of seeing people eating, sleeping, and sensual activities all due to association with prejudices. Karmis and Jnanis disrespect Vaishnavas only due to this attachment to prejudices. Until the attachment to prejudices is destroyed, the 10 offenses in chanting will not be uprooted. Offenses at the feet of sadhus. Offenses at the feet of sadhus is due to being proud of one's karma and jnana. You're proud of your aristocracy, your wealth, you know, your whatever it is, jnana karma, jnana ishvara kripa, and you score, you know, the Vaishnavas. Look at that picture. Or jnana. Look at that enjoyer. Same person if you look at it as a beggar or an enjoyer, according to the prejudice one has in karma and jnana. It says, let's look at section. Association with prejudice is very dangerous. By affectionately associating with true devotees, one's association with prejudice is in the form of harm and jnana is destroyed. Due to this association with prejudice, they may enter the potentially, anyway. And then it describes that this is really, it says, and this is Bhakti Vinod Thakur saying, we have seen how by associating with Vaishnavas, people have given up money and logic. Hate for associating with the opposite sex, hate for wealth, desire for sensualism and liberation, inclination for calm and jam, eating meat and fish, drinking wine, smoking tobacco, by observing the Vaishnava quality of not uselessly wasting time, people have so just see how important it is in the spreading of Krishna consciousness and to develop a function of Vaishnava society to train Vaishnavas. It's just inspiring. When you see a Vaishnava who's just not wasting time, really affects you so much. And you give up those analogies. We've also seen an associated with Vaishnavas for some time. Someone's cheating potentially and desire for fame has been destroyed. You need a Vaishnava who's so wonderful, has no desire for, you know. And that becomes attractive to you. You see that your desire for prestige is such an anarcha. You see with our own eyes that by associating with Vaishnavas with a little affection, all other associate anything. With associating with Vaishnava, a little affection, all other association, just it's attachment to prejudice has been vanquished. Well, there are such types of people who have attained devotional service by being purified in the association of Vaishnavas. Anyway, he goes up and on. I think that's a really interesting point. We have to look at our prejudices, either developed in this life or the past, and how we see things not according to the philosophy and not according to how things are, but according to our prejudices, just on previous experiences. Beautiful, the way Bhakti Vinod Thakur does that. Now, so we've been in the section of Servitorship, and we just finished it, and it's a very powerful internal attitude. And as he says, that there is nothing greater than this attitude. That if after thousands of births, a person develops this attitude of being a servant of Lord Krishna, he can deliver the intention. He's getting rid of small ego. The ahankara is I am the controller and the enjoyer, and it's really I am the servant of Krishna. I remember, very interesting also, when Radhanath Swami came back to Vrindavan after 10 years, and he lived here before he even became a devotee. He arrived in Mathura, walked the bank of the Jamuna, and I think he walked to Vrindavan. The first person he saw is Chaitanya. He folded his hands and said, "Give me service." The new service is very attractive. And then they got to that attitude. What the truth in that attitude, and that attitude manifests in terms of service. The electricity just went off. I have a good ventilator. I have to get back to it. And then come back up to my room. The lights come back on and then go back. So I'm going to use it. And I'm okay with the windows and I said, let me be empty. Right. And then we discussed this mode of service because from the body time we discussed that. It's manifesting in sentences and prayers, taking multiple activities and personal service, and hearing stories and running related to the Lord. We quote from the Bhagavatam. And how service to worship is indicated by the actions that constitute it. And we, your servants, we were born to the garland, sandalwood place. Experiments. And then my parents will a servant comes once a week to clean the place. Very dedicated to the family, even going to my mom's house when I was 13. A passage of rites, you know. And, you know, they would always get our old clothes. They would always get our old clothes. And, of course, you know, I always marveled at how many clothes my mother and father had. I just, you know, how many shoes, how many, you know, clothes, you know, 100 shirts, 100 this, 100 shoes, 100 this. You know, maybe the next fucking combination you can have. What would I think if I said, putting the root in your meeting like the guy I found it in? Is he guided his, on that big throne, it's the canopy, and, you know, jewels. The guy I found it seemed to have. I didn't know, it's right around it, you can't say that. But it's apparently seemed to have the president's exam, so he's not a devotee. And the Kundi said, what would I do to alleviate myself of this great offense? I'd have to take initiation for this. The Dada Pandit took initiation from Kundalini's divinity. So, in this verse, it's service and how it develops from that mood. Survive and not push at the bottom of India. That Ambarish, how, you know, his mind, his tongue, the glory, his hands cleaning the temple, all his senses engage in service, but he engages his mind in meditating on the lotus feet of Sri Krishna engaged in meditating on the lotus feet, not sense gratification. All his senses engage in all the different activities of devotional service. So this is really an internal mood. An internal mood, really, that you feel intimately like that of Krishna's service. And it's nice to analyze and look at our internal mood and see how many challenges we have in life to developing that mood. You know, and the challenges. Whatever it is, it's a challenge. It's a challenge to keep the mood of service for everyone in whatever position they are, to keep that humble and that eternal mood. And therefore, it's said that humbler than a great blade of grass, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was talking about taking the position of guru and then having to sit on a high seat and Vyasa Puja and what people must be thinking due to their prejudices. Look at this person sitting there. But at the same time, he said that the spiritual master, he thinks he's guru, that's his identity. I am the Swami, I am the master, he's the devil. That's a cow. You're not something enjoyed. Who is the guru, and he had these huge palaces and huge thrones. Huge, you couldn't believe it. I mean, I went to the Ashram, it was practically over my head. So one of the leaders there came, and he went to Srinarayan at a time where there wasn't any conflict. He was just a well-wishing friend who sometimes asked questions. He said, if he's attached to sitting on the big seat, will he fall down? And Raimar said, he's already fallen. if you think you're the master in the head, that is a fallen position. And therefore, a guru doesn't identify with being a guru. He identifies with being a servant as a spiritual master. And as a servant, he takes that position. But the mood is servant. The internal attitude is showing. or friendship. And friendship surpasses servitorship. Now we will discuss satyam, the friendship with the Lord, which entails a feeling of friendship imbued with a desire to bring well-being. So this is, I believe, you know, one thing about these, you know, I person who translated the book, you know, I used to study with him because he was my Sanskrit teacher. He's a Sanskrit teacher in the Gurukul. And I listened to his lectures and took notes. And somehow on this section, I don't have notes, which last two sections, I didn't have notes. So I looked at this section and not get everything here. But it discusses the second friendship. It's also an internal movement. It says a feeling of friendship imbued with the desire to well-being. Okay, as your friend. A friend in the sense that is your well-wisher. You can be the well-wisher of your father, and that sense you can be. Because well-wishing, it kind of raises the level of servitorship to an intimacy. It's well-being in the sense of blessings or superiority of us, or equality. It's well-being. It's not just, you are my master, you are my lord. It's not that you take that position as master or lord is equal. It's have that feeling. And Prabhupada and when he discusses this in the next day devotion, discusses that the devotee who takes up the mission of teaching and develops that sense towards the Lord. You know, you're the well-wisher of the Lord. You're doing his bidding. Are the residents of Vraj, headed by Nanda Maharaj, the chief of the cowherd people, whose friend is Lord Krishna, the eternal, the complete, now absolute, and the embodied. So that you look at Krishna as your friend, Nanda Maharaj is fortunate. So if he says, when it says how fortunate the residents, you look on Krishna as their friend, that he's doing good to them. See, I guess it's a look at deity, a look at God, and thinking that he is your well-wisher. He is your friend. He is your friend. And even that can come from his superiority, of saying that he is my friend. He may be superior, but he is my friend. He is my well-wisher. It's such a sweet mood, isn't it? An example of friendship towards the Lord is given in the Rana Chana Chandi. Voted for the Lord's service, sleep in the temple of the Lord to regard him as a human being and deal with him as a friend. So this is, it can also be some type of intimacy like that. And you have intimacy, you can sleep in their house. Maybe it's superior, but you can sleep in their house. If he had so much kindness towards you, he is your friend. He is your friend. And the list of the nine limbs of devotion given in Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.23, the attitude of being the friend to the Lord and after that of being the servant. This indicates that friendship is greater even than servitude because it's saturated with love and intimacy. So it's something greater. I am your servant and I am your friend and you are my friend. Because it's equality, you can see it either way. See, I'm the well with. Or is my friend. Like, you can't go to someone's house unless you're a friend. There's some kind of intimacy here. Moreover, it is no surprise that scriptures have prescribed friendship even with the supreme ruler, because there is a scriptural injunction that one should not worship the divine without first becoming divine. Now, this is a very subtle point. I think it has to do with this process called a hunger hole process. He identifies himself as the supreme. And therefore, he says, nonetheless, the feelings of being on an equal team with the Lord implied in this statement is contrary to the Buddha's standards, and as such, it is disregarded by pure Lord. It's not that type of equality. That type of intimacy where you're not doing service, but the service continues. Divine that he's talking about is not conducive to service. These temperaments of servitude and friendship, which are the nature of direct service to the Lord, have been mentioned in Sridhar Swami's commentary on this statement of Sri Dhamma Vipra. May I be blessed with affection, goodwill, benevolence, and servitorship towards Sri Krishna, birth after birth. This is Sudama Bhani. He was Krishna's friend. He schooled them. So Krishna went on to be the king of Dwarka, and he was school Brahman. He couldn't even support his family by the nature of his divine karma. His wife insisted he must beg from Krishna to bring him the glory of some cheap rice. even with Pallas, everything was so obstinate. The Krishna reciprocated in that way. Krishna was his well-wisher. Krishna was his friend. He was Krishna's friend. So therefore, he said, may I be blessed with affection, goodwill, benevolence, and servitorship to Krishna. This is the meaning of friendship. Now, my goodwill, benevolence, servitorship, affection. Let me be blessed with this. And then the commentary, Sridhar Swami is going to explain this and explain that actually the verse is just highlighting these two attitudes of the nine classes of devotional service, because prema is the goal, and one of them indicates state, which is the process. And neither the goal nor the process is actually a particular item of devotional service. He explains this. It's a little technical, I tell you. Commentary. After witnessing Lord Krishna's affection, Sakyam means goodwill, Mati means benevolence, and Bhakti means servitorship. The single case is to use all items have been grouped together as a single compound. It's complicated separate things. It's one mood. And Sridhar prays to be blessed with these four attitudes in relationship to Krishna, but not to any kind of object. Okay, I'm just going to read the rest of the commentary and just take the questions. It's going to take me 5 minutes. I'm not sure what all the technicalities here. In the nine types of devotion referred to previously, prema is not included because it is the goal, and might complete is considered in satyam. Consequently, for both four items, only satyam and satyam have been accepted as the distinct limbs of devotion. The doctrine should not be interpreted to mean cause. The doctrine is option indicates the pure attitude of service. I am Krishna, and even I have is to him. And satyam, nor should satyam be interpreted as faith because these are not directly part of devotion. In this regard, it is already been explained that the offering of karma leads to devotion, that faith is instrumental in developing absorption in devotion. If satyam constitutes the devotee's desire to bring welfare to the Lord, it is a new type of service. It turns to bring welfare. Sudhita means close in heart. Krishna is close in heart to the devotee. He wants to purify the heart, he wants to benefit them. It's a sense that one wants to do good to Krishna. So it's a very intimate sense. Because attitude that we also want to do good for Krishna, but it's a little bit more distant. Not that you're actually in a good thing that I'm benefiting and resulting in the service. I haven't truly survived. I've got to be frank. I looked at it and it was. Yet it is not very difficult to execute even by distinct practices because the Lord's own feeling of welfare towards his devotee is eternal. If the devotee imbued with the glory of friendship eternally lives with him, the Lord makes this point clear in his statement to the sons of the atheist. Our sons of the Surah, what is the difficulty in worshiping Lord Hari? This person might disguise in one's own heart. He is one very self and a friend to all embodied beings without discrimination. So what is the point in striving to finish objects? The well-wisher, because appropriate to the moment he supplies material appeals to satisfaction of the internal and external senses as well as spiritual appeals in the form of the form. Just again, he's close in heart to me. He's close in heart to me, and he's seeing my heart, and he's providing what I need. He is my friend. He is my friend. So what is the point of accumulating objects for sense enjoying, which are artificial impositions of family nature? Let's stop the questions today. Okay? Are there any questions? While we're looking at the think of questions, would anybody like to share Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna. Can you hear me?
You can leap up to the end. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Yes,
Hare Krishna. Okay, I'll be seeing you next month. Thank you for listening. Very nice. Anybody else like to say
Hare Krishna? Hare Krishna.
Who's that? Who's that?
I'm sorry, dear John.
Hey, Hare Krishna. I'll wait, yeah, I'll give you a call.
If you want to give me a call after the class, I'm here. Or if there's some other time,
just send me a quick email right now.
I'm sorry?
With your phone number, okay? Give me a quick email with your phone number.
Okay, I'll do that.
One more person? Okay, thank you all for attending. Bunch of culture to do this, because we do the traffic, you can't tell me you're wasting your years.